This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. More than 30 Vermont school districts have filed a lawsuit challenging the forced mergers the state has ordered them to make. With town meeting day coming up and school budgets to be voted on, the districts involved in the lawsuit asked for a temporary injunction allowing them to halt merger proceedings until the suit is resolved. But on Monday, just a day before town meeting day, a judge denied that request. So the districts need to move ahead with merger plans, and unless the court rules in their favor or the legislature takes action, they will need to merge by July. Due to the uncertainty around the situation, many of the towns in these districts did not vote on school budgets at all on town meeting day. So what happens now? Here to talk about the continuing debate over these district mergers is VPR's Peter Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Hello, Jane.
Can you just give us the summary version, the cliff notes here of why these districts are suing, what the forced mergers are?
Yeah. So prior to Act 46, which passed in 2015, Vermont had almost 400 school districts. A lot of them were incredibly small, like serving less than 50 students in some cases. And lawmakers and the governor at the time said this is crazy. It's not an efficient operational structure, and it isn't good for kids because districts of those size can't tap into educational resources that kids need in a 21st century economy. So they passed this landmark piece of legislation where districts were going to have to merge with their neighbors to create governance units that served a minimum number of kids. I forget what the exact number is. I think it's 750 or something, but I may be wrong about that. The hope was that districts would do this voluntarily, and most have, but there are some holdouts. And last November, the State Board of Education issued an order that will force these holdouts to merge again against their will. And one major element of this course case is these districts saying it's unconstitutional for the board to force them to merge. They said to the judge, hey, while this case is pending, please issue a temporary injunction that will say we don't have to move forward with this merger process while this case is pending. But the judge said no dice. He said, based on what I see right now, there isn't an enormous likelihood of you succeeding in this case. And so I'm going to allow these merger activities to proceed as the board had ordered.
Right. So this wasn't a ruling in the case. This wasn't the judge saying, nope, you have to merge. It was the judge saying, I'm not going to let you halt these proceedings while the case is sorted out. But the fact that he didn't grant the injunction, does that actually give us clues into the likelihood of these plaintiffs succeeding?
You know, the fact that he didn't issue the injunction doesn't give us as many as clues as the narrative that accompanied his decision not to give that injunction. The judge took almost 3 weeks to come out with this decision. It's 25 pages long, and it discusses the merits of the underlying case at length. And it really looks like what this judge was trying to do was bring some clarity to this cloudy legal landscape that overhangs this Act 46 process. And he talks at length, really undermining some of the critical points that the plaintiffs are making, the lawyers representing the school districts are making, and really seems to encourage folks to come to the conclusion that the constitutional underpinnings of Act 46 are sound. And the way in which he wrote the decision really does lead, I think, most reasonable people to believe that the state is going to come out on the winning end here.
And this was Judge Mello who was making the decision?
Judge Robert Mello out of Franklin County, yeah.
So, I mean, that must be quite a blow to these districts that have been trying to figure out what to do. And so what do they do now? Because many of them don't have merged budget plan that they're working off.
Yeah, it is a blow for them, and they admit as such. They're not waving the white flag, I want to be clear. They say, look, we still think there are plenty of opportunities for us to win on the merits. But now they're faced with this question. Okay, he didn't put a temporary halt to the merger order. What do we do now? I talked to Dave Kelly. He's one of the lawyers representing these school districts in their case, and he said one strategy that he thinks would be a good one, and one we're actually starting to see boards move forward with, is parallel tracks, where you move forward with your local school district budget as though you're going to continue being that school district. The status quo is going to be the same. The other track is you begin to move forward with the merger. You create articles of incorporation. You vote on a budget that would serve the merged district if that eventuality happens. And then when you finally have resolution on this court case, you proceed with whichever track makes most sense at that point.
And are they likely to do that? I mean, I can also imagine a case in which they say, yeah, we're not going to make that merged budget. We're not going to make that merger plan because we don't want that.
Yeah, well, that's one of the interesting scenarios that people are pondering right now, right? What if we see essentially what would be acts of civil disobedience,
yeah.
right? We're not going to comply with this law no matter what you tell us and no matter what the statute says. And that's a question that lawmakers are asking as well and administration officials. And right now there is some language that has been drafted in the legislature. Senate Education Chairman Phil Baruth shared it with me last week actually. What it would do is say, okay, in an instance where a bunch of districts that are under an order to merge involuntarily, if they say no way, no how, we're not doing it no matter what the law says, we are going to create a budget for them. And that budget will be the sum of the school budgets for the member districts from last year plus a 1.5% inflator. And then this new organizational board, the board that's going to oversee this new merged district, will distribute those funds as they see fit.
Pete, is there any hope for some of these communities at least that the bill that's in the legislature that would delay implementation of the mergers by a year could actually move forward? Because, you know, we're talking about court action and we're talking about the school districts, but the legislature also could play a role in the timeline.
They could. And there's a really fascinating dynamic going on right now. Just as some context, there are about 50 districts in the state that are subject to a forced merger order right now. Last month, the House passed legislation that would provide about half of those districts with a one-year delay for complying with this merger mandate. Now, that bill has kind of been sitting on the back burner in the Senate since then because the Senate wanted to see how Judge Mello ruled on this request for a temporary injunction before they made their next steps. And I think we're going to see the Senate Education Committee take up that bill in earnest next week. It's unclear, though, what they're going to do. I think that Senate Education Chairman Phil Baruth is generally hostile to the idea of a one-year delay. There are a lot of people that just kind of want to rip off this merger Band-Aid, get it past them, and they feel like if you get these mergers through, people will see the sky hasn't fallen and life will go on. And they say if you allow for a delay, you only compound the conflict and antagonism that this Act 46 dispute is creating at the local level. But there are a lot of members of the Senate right now who I think are surprised at the amount of pressure that they're getting from constituents to grant this one-year reprieve. So it's tough to say what the Senate ultimately is going to do with that proposal.
I imagine there must also be some sentiment that says, look, we gave you time. We gave you all of this time. You knew the timeline. You knew that if you couldn't do it voluntarily, it would be forced. You knew how long it would take. We're not giving you more time because you've known this timeline for several years now.
And a lot of lawmakers who support Act 46, I should note, really think that this one-year delay is districts looking for another year to figure out how they can get out of the bind they find themselves in. How can we find a way not to have to do this merger at all? So certainly there are a lot of lawmakers that feel like there's no great reason to give you a delay. And if we do, it's only going to keep this landscape unsettled for another 12 months.
On the other hand, then, if all this moves forward as it's now expected to and the court rules against the districts, is this sort of philosophical battle over Act 46 over?
I would guess not. I think this debate over Act 46 is symptomatic in some ways of some broader concerns among residents of this state about the future of rural Vermont. And they see small schools as being a critical component of that. I don't think that completing these merger processes is going to bring those fears and mistrusts to an end. And I think people will be putting a pretty high power microscope on everything these new merged districts do for a long time to come.
VPR's Peter Hirschfeld on what happens next in the Act 46 process with these forced school district mergers. Pete, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jen.